Please turn in them to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So we're going to read a few verses. We're going to try to really dive into the scriptures today. And I want to answer a question today. So I would pray that you'd focus and pay attention, that the Holy Spirit would be tugging on your heart as we read and go through this message. So if you have your place in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of the calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now skip down to verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speak the truth in love, may grow up unto you in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love." Let's pray, and then I want to ask the question, what is my role, or what is your role in church unity? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the people who are here, Lord. I just thank you for, Lord, the many gifts that you give that we don't notice. The ability to walk, talk, breathe, think, and hear, Lord. And, Lord, the precious gift of having a church where we can come and worship and hear your word preached, Lord, from the messenger. And I pray that I would not be a messenger of my own, but I'd be a messenger for you. Lord, I pray that this would speak to the hearts of the people, and that, Lord, I would be clear and precise in what I'm trying to get across. And I just thank you for all that you've given to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would bless us in this time. In your name, amen. So we're asking some questions, and I've found that lately I've enjoyed just coming up with questions and then trying my best to answer them. And if you think about it, a lot of the things you see around us are here because some scientist or some inventor out there asked the question, "Oh, what if we had doors that automatically close themselves, so we don't have to slam it shut every time?" Well, we have that. We have the door thing. Or what if we had a microphone that could take our voice and amplify it versus using a cone, which is what they used to use? So we're asking, I read this this passage of scripture, and I started to ask a question. Well, what is my role in the church? What is my role in specifically the unity, the body that God has created, this church? And we understand that obviously it started out with 12 individuals. the 12 disciples, but even what was their role? What was the purpose of them being there? We understand that when we go to work, our purpose as an employee is to make the company run well and honestly to make money for our employer. So we understand why we're at work. We understand why we're there. But have you ever asked, why are you here? Many times I think we can go to church and we can and live our lives and we can go out and we can do the things that we're supposed to do, but we'd never ask ourselves, exactly why do we go to church? Because, I mean, sometimes even I've thought, what is it, because I've been in church my whole life, what is it like, you know, to not go to church? I don't know the answer to that question. I don't need to know, because I understand that right here, it tells us that we have a specific role in church that is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's us as a whole. And we're going to try to dive into this, and we're going to try to see it from Paul's perspective and what he's trying to communicate to the Ephesians. First of all, I would like us to notice something before we get into scripture, before we get into the rest of the passage. Paul starts out this chapter and the chapter before with a similar introduction. He says, I therefore, or in verse chapter 13, he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, the Gentiles. And then in chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Now, here's something that Paul understood. Paul had been in position. He had been in power. He had the ability in his previous life to make things happen. He was smart. He was intelligent. He knew that if he wanted to be employed somewhere, he would be one of those scribes. He would be the smart guy who says, oh, this is what this means. Or he would be high up in the ranks because he was smart. He was intelligent. He was a Jew. He could make it really far in the Jewish community, and he did in the past. But he introduces himself as a prisoner. Legitimately, besides maybe a dog, actually, honestly, a prisoner was the lowest point in their culture. Jews didn't look at prisoners and say, ah, I want to be like that. Paul, when he was in his height of his career as an important scribe, a man of knowledge, didn't ever say, I want to be a prisoner. That's what I want to give away all my rights, all my belongings, everything that I own, everything that makes me me, and I want to be a prisoner with no purpose. I'm not going anywhere in life. I'm stuck in this little pit with no light, with no good food. That's what I want. I guarantee you, he didn't say that. And I believe that everyone in this room, you wouldn't say that either. But he introduces himself. He says, listen, I'm a prisoner. Not a prisoner to the world. Not a prisoner to sin. Not a prisoner to your local sheriff. No, I'm a prisoner of Christ. So he's starting out these chapters and he's saying, listen, I'm going to give you the groundwork. I don't think I'm important. That's what Paul says. Listen, Paul could have said he was important. Most likely one of the most influential Christians that we see in the Bible. He wrote most of the New Testament. He's important. We would consider him as important. But he says, listen, no, we need to start this off on the right foot. Listen, I'm a prisoner for Christ. I'm not worth anything. I'm honestly not worth anything to you. But I'm only worth something because I'm a prisoner of Christ. Listen, he owns me. And he says, listen, before we even get into anything else, before we even step to the next stepping stone, listen, you have to understand that just like I'm a prisoner, you need to be a prisoner too. Listen, if you're thinking about why you need to be in church, and if you have that question, like even I thought of, why are you in church? Listen, you just got to start out here. You should be a prisoner of Christ. Listen, that's why you should be here in the pews right off the bat before we even go into the scriptures. Paul established that he was a prisoner, that he had no self-worth in and of himself, that he was owned by God. Listen, if you want to know where you stand in life as a Christian, it's just like Paul. You're a prisoner. But he doesn't just say, oh, I'm a prisoner and I have no purpose in life. No, he doesn't. He continues on. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, which is a blessing. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation therewith you're called. Listen, a vocation, the definition of vocation is an invitation, a calling. Listen. He was invited to be a prisoner. Listen, you don't get invitations for prison life. That's not how that works. You got to do something bad. But in this situation, it's different than the world's philosophy on a prisoner. It's different than our philosophy on a prisoner or the Jews. No, it's God's definition. Listen, God said, listen, I'm giving you an invitation. I'm giving a calling. And that calling is to be my prisoner. He says, listen, I'm a prisoner. Beseech you. Understand that you need to be walking worthy of vocation, the calling wherein you were called. Listen, it's honestly a call to be a prisoner. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So it's not just about being subjecting yourself to being a prisoner. No, it's subjecting yourself to be a prisoner to everyone. Listen, when it talks about that love, it's not the love that the lovey-dovey feely stuff that people think that is real. No, this is true love. This is the love of God. This is the love that binds your heart to His, and then therefore it binds it to everyone else's. Because listen, if God's true love, listen, it's not just for me, it's for everyone. And if God is calling me to be a prisoner, listen, it's not just me be a prisoner to myself, but it's me being a prisoner to everyone else, saying, listen, if somebody else is in trouble or in need, listen, he's saying, listen, you're with lowliness and meekness, kind of like a servant, kind of like a prisoner, is lowly and meek, and says, forbearing one another in love. So he's saying, listen, he's not even got to the unity part. He's talking about that individual. Because listen, unity starts with you. Literally. And in God's definition, listen, it starts with you. So he's talking about himself. He says, listen, I'm a prisoner. And then he says, listen, you need to be lowly and meek and long-suffering and forbearing for one another in love. Listen, I can't perfectly love people like Christ does. Because honestly, in my flesh, I have this carnal spirit that says, you don't need to do that. It happened yesterday, and I feel bad about it. On it, truly. Where my flesh was like, nah, you don't need to do that. And then I did something, and in retrospect, I shouldn't have. But in reality, the only true love I can show is through Jesus Christ. And the only way you can get love is if you are a true servant of Christ, a true prisoner. So let's continue on. We've understood that we need to be as prisoners, lowly, not just loving God, not just being sold out for God, but being sold out for others. But he doesn't stop there. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of the bond of peace. Listen, this is not a prison ship of chaotic mess. No, it's peace. Oh, that's interesting. Why would you? Well, that doesn't make sense. Prisons aren't peaceful. No, but being attached to God in a way that says, listen, it's not about me, it's about Him, that brings peace. A lot of our stress comes about because we want to control things. But when we give it all the control to God, there is peace because you don't have to stress about things anymore. You know there's a God who's going to take care of every single need. We heard some blessing today of Miss Chris seeing a blessing come about in her own eyes. She couldn't have planned that. It was God. And in the same way, he wants to say, listen, if you're a prisoner, if you give this up, you can have unity. You can have peace. He says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Listen, there's not 20 callings. And listen, the world will say that there is more than one calling, but there's only one. And it comes from Jesus. And we all understand that. We've all heard the stories of Jesus dying on the cross. Listen, there's only one way. There's only one calling. And peace and unity only comes from that. Verse 5, he says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. That's pretty much why I'm Baptist. Because we believe throughout the ages that, listen, there is one Lord, there is one faith, and there's one baptism. There's nothing else. You don't have to add, you know, a little sugar to it. God has made it complete. He's made it whole. He's made it unified, perfect, and holy. Verse 6, it says, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. Why worry? I mean, have you read the verse? Has it clicked in your mind? It's right there. It says, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Listen, he's in you, he's above you, and he's through you. That's pretty much, I mean, that's all the bases covered. When God says he's everywhere, he means it. It's not as if we have to open, he's in a box and we have to open him up every time we have an issue. No, he's in it all. And there's no circumstances, there's no doubting really that you need, because you don't have to just expect it to happen. No, he says, listen, he's the God of all. And this is where the unity starts to kind of kick in. In verse 7, he says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Listen, so it's interesting. So he kind of says, okay, so there's one God, Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Listen up. That measure is far above you. Listen, I can't give you a measure of grace like God can. I can't give you what God can give you. Listen, this measure of the gift of Christ, it's far above me. But let's go down to verse 11. This is kind of where it kicks into the unity. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. It's essentially saying that, listen, you're given reason to be in the church. Listen, you're given a job. And some of us, we might say, oh, well, I can't do that. That's for the young whippersnappers. You know, the 20-year-olds in here that are saying, oh, that's for the young whippersnappers. Let Josiah do it. He's fast and he does things. No, God has given you a command, no matter what your age, no matter who you are. He wants you to be a part of his church. And listen, every one of us can be a part of the church. It was a blessing to hear about the Warnakees and how there was men in the church who out of their own selves said, listen, we believe that there should be unity. Honestly, I believe that they had a thought to say, listen, we can help pastor, so let's step out of our way. Let's go beyond the kind of expectation that church has, where it's just like 20% do 80%, right? We've heard of that. The statistic that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Let's unbalance that scale, as Christians should, and say, listen, let's take the initiative. Let's do this. Let's help pastor out and relieve some of the burdens. Listen, pastor shouldn't have to appoint deacons to do that. It should be part of our daily lives, of part of us being in church. Listen, this is where the unity happens. When you as a person understand that, listen, you are a prisoner of God. You belong to him. You love him. And therefore, you're going to say, listen, Lord, some of us might say, I don't quite know exactly what you want me to do, but whatever it is, I'll do it. Listen, not everyone in here is going to be a pastor. I'm looking at basically all the girls. All of them. So not everyone in here is going to be a pastor. Not everyone has to come up here like Brother Jeremiah and shake their arms around. Not everyone has to do that. But we still need teachers, and we still need youth workers, and the bus needs help, and pastor needs help. And listen, no matter what age or range that you're in, listen, if you ask some questions, like, oh, ask yourself this, listen, where is there a gap? Listen, there's gaps all around the place. Miss Elizabeth honestly shouldn't have to do all of everything. I've seen her, listen, her and my mother, I've honestly seen them go weeks where they spend 80% of their time here with their children working on things, cleaning things up. I asked my mom what she did today, and she says, I was at church. I asked my mom, where she's going tonight. She says, I'm going to church. Listen, I'm not bragging on my mom, but shouldn't every Christian say, listen, at one point in time, if somebody is to randomly ask you after work, what you doing tonight? Oh, I'm going to go sit on the couch and stare at my TV and watch football all day. I mean, it would be easy for me, because I only live 6 minutes from here, to come to church. But God isn't just saying, listen, I've given you opportunities, and I've given you ministries. Listen, ministries? He's given us all ministries. Which one is yours? Ask yourself that. Listen, there was somebody, I don't know exactly who it was, but somebody once said, listen, essentially they said, you're not helping the unity of the church if when you leave, there isn't a gap to fill. Listen, I have been on the bus for quite a while. I've tried to do my best to get involved in ministries, and I'm not perfect. But if every single one of us at least tried to apply ourselves in some way, listen, as prisoners of Christ, of the Lord, it should already be in us to serve. Not just each other, which it does command us to do, to love one another, but the church, it commands us to be a part, to have unity in the church. And the only way we have unity is we're following Christ. And the only way we can follow Christ, if we're like Paul, we say, listen, I want to be in the shackles of Christ, because there's peace and I want unity. But the only way you get unity is you take the steps to do something at church. That's pretty simple. It's not hard. I see people all the time who go to charities and they go to the mission and they try to help out to be good people. But listen, we are prisoners of the Lord. It shouldn't take us more effort than those people, the lost people, to go out and give to charities, to give to something that we're a part of here in the local body of Christ. It shouldn't be that hard. Now, listen, I'm not perfect. Honestly, right now I'm preaching to myself, because there's been times that I can remember where I should have said, listen, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go home and sit on my bed, which is really comfortable, and just lay there, which is what I like to do. It's my favorite pastime because I have no friends. And just lay there and enjoy myself. When there's things at church, listen, there's a to-do list, which was my marker. There's a to-do list that needs to get done. And one of these things that I wanted to do was install the security camera. But guess what? It's already done. I lost out on helping unify the body because I was like, yeah, just ask about it later. I'll wait till the next work day. Well, listen, the next work day is tomorrow. It's today. It's when you see a gap and you see like, oh, there's somebody will clean the floor over there. It gets pretty dirty over there. And I'm pretty sure most of you kids know how to use a broom. I know how to use a broom. So part of this unity is not just saying, oh, well, I tithe and I come to church and I sit in my seat. Listen, you sit in your seat, but how many times have you cleaned that seat? You use it for free. It's just an honest question. I have to ask that question to myself. Because honestly, I don't know if I've cleaned that seat in the last year. So just asking yourself these questions, listen, part of unity, part of being in line with God's will is not sitting around doing your own things and following your own philosophies of life, but it's being willing to serve in whatever capacity you are. Who is here? Honestly, let's ask a question. Who is here every time the doors are open? Listen, my mom is here when the doors are open, and sometimes she opens the doors. Again, I'm not bragging on my mom, but she is an example from my life of a Christian who doesn't ask before she does. Listen, with respect, she doesn't ask before she does. When she sees something that needs to get done, she gets it done. And I can respect that. And I see parts of my life where I fail at the same thing. Listen, Paul is not giving them this complex situation where they have to make 20 decisions. No, it's one decision. It's to help out the church. It's to help where God wants you to be. It's to be the prisoner to the Lord, which causes you to love others and to love the church. But let's continue on in our reading. It says, listen, in verse 12, it says, okay, so we've talked about all the positions there. There's pastors and there's teachers and there's prophets and there's apostles. And then verse 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, that's what we need to be doing every day. We need to be edifying the body of Christ. Listen, we're prisoners. We don't even own ourselves. Why do we think that we can do what we want? Let's be honest. Just ask yourself that question. Why do you think you can do what you want? Because the second that you do what you want, you're neglecting the body of Christ. Listen, I'm not saying that every second of your day needs to be poured into church, but how many more seconds could you pour into church? Listen, I waste my time all the time. Anyway, I waste my time a lot. And I can't get those seconds back. And many of them, many hours are wasted. When there's clear instruction from the work of God, from the Word of God, that we, as a body, just as the Ephesians have, the people at Ephesus, just as they needed to do this, so do we. It says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, if you want the fullness of Christ in your life, listen, the unity of the church has to be part of it. Listen, if you're not involved here, if you're not putting your all in here, listen, your Christian life, it's not going to be to the fullness of Christ. Listen, this is a part of it. It says right here, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen, we can't get to that fullness. We can't get to the holiness of Christ. We can't even get close. Honestly, as human beings, we can't get close. But if we want to make those right steps, if we want to answer the questions, why am I here? Listen, it's right here. It's for the edification of this body that God has created. It's not going to work without an arm. Listen, the pianist leaves, it's going to suffer. The secretary leaves, it's going to suffer. But listen, if that were to happen, I'm not saying that it will. If it were to happen, who would fill in? You have to be here to be able to fill in. You have to be here in order to complete the unity that Christ has called us to. But we can't be unified if we're a lone wolf. And I see this in teenagers all the time, sometimes in myself. We like to stick to ourselves, and everything else is just swept under the rug. Church is swept under the rug, honestly, because we stay in our bubble all day, and we don't get out, we don't get engaged, and we don't talk to people, we don't try to love other people, we just try to have fun and enjoy ourselves. And you know what? We neglect the unity of Christ. I'm speaking from experience because, I mean, my teen years weren't too far behind, and I'm technically still a teen. But I mean, I have to make the change now. I can't account for all those hours that I wasted here at church, sleeping on a pew when there needed to be work to be done. And listen, this is something that I'm working with, and I believe that every preacher preaches on things that they need to work on. And so honestly, I would love your prayer in itself, but ask yourself your question. Listen, are you helping the unity of the church, or are you hindering it? Because people who just fill seats, they are hindering it. You're not being an example to the kids in this church, to your peers, to the people above you. You're not helping the church, you're hindering it if you aren't willing to pick up a ministry. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be extravagant. But if you're not willing to pick up some type of ministry, listen, you're failing your purpose of being at church. Honestly, let's ask a question. Would the church suffer if I left? Because if it wouldn't, even a little bit, ask the question to yourself right now. Why are you here? You say, well, my parents dragged me here, and don't really have anything else to do. Listen, that shouldn't be church for us. Oh, well, I don't do anything on Wednesdays. I've been doing this for 20 years. Why stop now? That should not be the attitude. It shouldn't have been the attitude for the Ephesians. It shouldn't be the attitude for us. Our attitude should be, listen, I want to be in church because the church doesn't run without people. And I'm a person who needs to be in church because I need to edify other people and I need to be edified. It's not hard. It's not simple. Evidently, the Ephesians were dealing with this. And I believe that every church in the United States and around the world has an issue with some people who are sitting in the seats and say, listen, I don't take part in anything. I'm here to maybe tithe and that's all I do. Listen, that is not what God's called you to do. He's called you to pick up a ministry. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's visitation. Maybe it's just an honest prayer warrior if you pray at all. Listen, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be extravagant. But everybody has to have these little parts that make it all move. And listen, when you lose a leg, the body suffers. And pastor has said this many times, and it's not hard, it's not complicated. But when you lose a part, it suffers. When a part doesn't want to move in conjunction with everyone else, it suffers. So ask yourself this, are you here to make the body suffer or are you here to make it thrive? Because if you're going to make it suffer and you're not doing anything to help the other pieces of the body, What use is it for you to be here? What point is it to have a finger that doesn't have any circulation to it? It just stands there, purple. It fills space, but it just gets in the way. Listen, don't be that kind of Christian that just stays in church because your parents did. Listen, it has to be your opportunity to take hold of whatever responsibility that you can get a hold on. Listen, it's not about how high you have it in the rung. You don't have to be the pastor in 10 years. You don't have to be. Because the pastor is nothing without a flock. A shepherd is nothing without a flock. And as he speaks to the Ephesians, I believe that he gets to this point in the last few verses where he kind of wants to bring it all together. So let's continue reading. He says that we henceforth, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly jointed together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Honestly, when I got to verse 16, I just stopped there and stared at it for probably 5 minutes. I mean, you read it and it's so beautifully put. Listen, the reason why we are here is to make ourselves and the people around us, it's to grow. And listen, when a joint doesn't want to grow or when a joint doesn't want to work the way it's supposed to work, everyone suffers. And you're making the person next to you suffer if you're not doing your part in this church to edify the body. And listen, it's a clear call from the Word of God. And if you believe the Word of God, it should be a part of your life. If you don't believe the Word of God, which some people do, I believe a lot of us do in our action, we avoid these parts of scriptures that say we actually need to do things in church. So ask this question, which the Ephesians needed to ask themselves, and I believe Paul even needed to ask at his time. Listen, if I'm going to be here, if I'm going to sit in the pew, if I'm going to listen to preaching, what have I done in the last week, in the last 3 days, in the last day, today? What have I done to edify the body of Christ? Because listen, there's really no other point for you to be here. Part of edifying the body of Christ is going out on visitation and trying to win lost souls. And listen, I feel that. And part of edifying the Word of God is sitting in your seat, in your place, every Sunday, every Wednesday, and starting off the day saying, listen, Lord, what do you want to give me? Not what do I want to take, but what do you want to give me that I can give to others? If you're not asking those questions every single time you come to church, if you're not at least living out some of these principles in the Word of God that tell us to edify the body of Christ, listen, why are you here? You can go and do whatever you want, because clearly what you want is what you're doing in the church. And it's not about what you want. It's about being a prisoner of Christ. And listen, being a prisoner of Christ is sitting in your pew, not to edify yourself, not to get something out of the message for yourself necessarily, but it's to get something so you can give it to others. And part of that is having your ministry and doing it. So ask yourself this, listen, if I don't have a ministry, if I'm not edifying the body, if I'm not edifying other people, what am I doing here? And listen, the Bible, it clearly says, listen, for the unity, for the cause of Christ, this is to be done. So ask yourself the question, what truly am I doing here? And what gap will I leave if I was to just be gone. Let's pray.